morning, 550 KTRS. Paul Harris filling in for Frank here with the gang on this Friday afternoon. And that music is the theme song to The Amazing Race, one of, frankly, two great reality shows on TV, the other one being Survivor. I've watched every episode of. This season, there were two professional poker players on the show who I actually got to know a little bit this summer during the World Series of Poker, and so I was very interested in what their progress was going to be as they moved through this race around the world. Tiffany Michelle and Maria Ho, who got knocked out just last Sunday night, and join me now here this afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hi.
Nice to talk to you again.
Yes. Good to talk to you, too.
Congratulations on getting as far as you did, and how frustrating was your final day on the race?
I think you could tell by watching it on TV. You know, there's a lot of tears, a lot of frustration. We spent over 3 hours before we decided to call it quits and realized that we weren't going to be able to accomplish that challenge. We were soaked to the bone. Everything was just kind of working against us. So it was definitely a frustrating day, but we were very, very proud that we made it that far in the race, especially being the only all-female team.
You were in the Netherlands, and it came down to a detour where there were two tasks, one of which would have involved a little bit of dancing, but before you could go do the dancing, you had to ring one of those carnival bells where you bring down the sledgehammer and send the thing up the pole, and it rings the bell at the top, and then you would have been able to go on and do the dancing, which I'm sure you were completely confident you could do, except that that ringing the bell thing became a huge obstacle for you. Maria, what happened there?
You know, every time there's a detour, it's usually a choice between two different tasks, one which is always more physically demanding than the other. So, you know, when we read the choices, it was like, oh, farmer's golf or farmer's dance, we definitely thought that dance would be what we'd be good at. So, you know, we really didn't realize that we would have such a problem with that carnival bell. And, you know, we gave it over 70 attempts between the both of us. And actually, what people can't see at home is that the actual sledgehammer was, you know, over 35 pounds. So just for us to be able to bring that, you know, over our head and down onto that thing, you know, time and time again, it really expended a lot of our energy. And we just, you know, at the end of the day, we just physically did not have the strength that you need to do that. I mean, there's a certain technique to do it as well, and we definitely tried all kinds of different ways. And you know, it never got to the point where we could actually complete that task.
Now, the other task you could have chosen first, and which you ended up choosing second when you couldn't do the bell, was where you had to strip down to your long johns, swim across what looked like freezing cold water, and then play this weird kind of combination of golf and croquet in what looked like an overgrown cow pasture, and that seemed like almost impossible because you looked like you were covered in goosebumps.
Well, you nailed everything on the head. Everything you just said was correct. And actually, by the time that we'd gotten there, as compared to, like, the two other teams that finished it before us, the winds had picked up. They were close to 50 miles per hour directly in our faces. And that's why so many people, you know, have said, well, you know, could you have kept going? Could you have kept trying? It was just a lot of Mother Nature that day working against us because we would hit that ball with all of our strength, which was already hard enough because it was like an inflatable soccer ball that we were hitting with a little clog on a stick. But we would hit the ball, and it would just come right back towards us. And, yeah, like you said, it was really cold. They actually had EMTs come out to the field to make sure Marie and I weren't dying of hypothermia. So it was an intense day.
Now, do you think it was unfair for those tasks to be out there considering you were, as you said, the only all-female team? All the other teams had at least one guy. Some teams had two guys on them. So even if you had a woman who couldn't do the strength parts of the task necessary, there was always a guy to do that. Was it unfair to you being two women?
I wouldn't say that it was unfair for us. It was just frustrating to know that, you know, a lot of the more physically demanding challenges, you know, there was always at least one guy on every other team that could, you know, attempt to do those parts of the challenge. And so, you know, it would have been nice if we could have had, you know, that kind of strength. But Tiffany and I, you know, when we set out to do the Amazing Race, we knew what it was going to entail, and we knew that we would be going in, you know, at a disadvantage in terms of, you know, the sheer strength category. But, you know, we feel like we're so grateful to the production for being able to, you know, come up with these challenges, first of all, because you have to be so creative, but also to make them completely 100% fair. It's just a lot. It's really hard, and it's a lot to ask of them. You know, I think they try to balance it out as evenly as they could, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's not going to be 100% fair. So, you know, it was just a frustrating day for us, and ultimately we feel like it was our lack of you know, that kind of strength that was the reason why we couldn't complete it. And like Tiffany said, Mother Nature, but, you know, we're really happy with how well we did, and I think that throughout the race, Tiffany and I both did things that other people on other teams had their guys do, and, you know, we definitely still, you know, hung in there and pulled our own, so we're happy with that for sure.
Yeah, I think you definitely did a terrific job. Tiffany, who, I hope you don't mind me saying this, had some image problems last year at the World Series of Poker. I think you've redeemed yourself so well. I think you've gotten a lot of people who may not have been on your side before who would certainly sympathize with you on Sunday night. And I think you did a lot of help to both of your images here by going on that show. I mean, Annie Duke may have become the most famous poker player to go on a reality show, but now you two are number two and number three. So that's a pretty good thing.
Thanks. That means a lot to us. And you know, we do get a lot of kind of crap from some stuff happening in poker. I think it's tough to our just society doesn't tend to view strong, confident, competitive females in the most positive light. And that was one thing we were hoping with this was that we could show, you know, our friendship and what tough girls we are and how hard we try and how hard we work at things and maybe just get a little bit more behind the scenes of, you know, what we're really made of. So that really means a lot to hear you say that. We appreciate it.
Talking with Maria Ho and Tiffany Michelle here on the Big 550 KTRS. They were eliminated from the Amazing Race last week. I've got to ask you about a strategic decision you made to not tell the other teams early on that you were poker players. Instead, you told them that you worked with the homeless in Los Angeles. Why did you do that? And when the other teams found out that wasn't true, did you say to yourself, oh, well, maybe that was a mistake?
Actually, you know, Marie and I are involved in a lot of things in our careers. Besides just poker, we do a lot of charity work. You know, we're both in the performing arts. I'm specifically involved with the Los Angeles Youth Network, which does help to shelter homeless youth in L.A. We do a lot of volunteering and fundraising with them. So we just decided to highlight another part of our career because from season 7, Rob and Amber, who had been on Survivor, a lot of the teams on The Amazing Race didn't like them and didn't want to help them because they had already won $1 million and had success on TV. And so we just kind of took that as a learning tool to say, all right, we need to present ourselves in a light that is going to want to make everybody help us on this race. We knew how valuable, kind of from a game theory point of view, that would be down the line. And so that's why we went in a certain direction. At the end of the day, once people found out we played poker primarily in addition to the charity work we do, nobody really cared. It wasn't a big deal. You know, as you saw, Sam and Dan became good friends of ours anyway. So it didn't end up really mattering either way.
I got to ask you about one of the other teams, Mika and Kanan, who got to the top of a water slide. I think it might have been in Dubai. And everybody, including you two, had to go down this really high water slide. And everybody did it and seemed very, very happy about it because it looked incredibly cool. But she had a fear of heights and a fear of water and would not go down the slide and panicked and froze and to a point where the Harlem Globetrotter team who was on there, these two guys, they came up and actually passed them by and finished. And Mika and Kanan got knocked out of the race because of that fear. As you've watched this thing on TV, which I'm sure you have every Sunday night, were you surprised at that? Because as a fan of the show, I thought to myself, how can you go on The Amazing Race and not know you're going to have to do with something with heights?
Yeah, I mean, it's understandable that, you know, sometimes people will face a challenge that is just so incredibly, you know, hard and frightening to them that it just totally paralyzes them. But, you know, like you said, why would people sign up for the show if they weren't prepared for a moment where they will have to face those fears? So, you know, the funniest thing about that whole situation was that, you know, everybody wanted the Globetrotters out because they're obviously a very strong team. And so the fact that because Michael refused to go down that slide made the Globetrotters actually end up taking their place and finishing last, second to last in that leg, it really, all the rest of the other teams were like, wow, that, like, more than anything, it was just the fact that because she couldn't go down the slide, the Globetrotters stayed in. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, everyone goes into this thinking, okay, we know we have to face our fears, and when that time comes, we're ready to do it. Because, you know, in no other situation would you feel like there's no other better reason besides $1 million in this kind of competition that'll make you want to do something like that. And I'm very surprised that she still couldn't muster up, you know, the courage to do that because I'm afraid of heights as well. But, you know, it's just something where, you know, when you're in that situation, the competitive spirit in you needs to come out and you have to realize, you know, hey, you're not going to die from doing this, and, you know, there's a lot at stake here. And, you know, I mean, I feel bad for the girl, though. She obviously was so frightened, and she couldn't force herself to do it. So, but it was pretty funny to watch.
After you get eliminated, you go someplace where everybody has to stay until the entire race is over, right?
Right. Everyone gets sequestered. Pretty much all the teams have to get sequestered at a place that they call Elimination Station until everybody meets up at the finish line at the end city.
So. And do they just wine and dine you there? Are you sitting around a pool drinking Mai Tais the whole time?
Actually, we were so close to the end of the race that we went straight to the end city with because the end of the race is the final three teams, and so the teams that go out in sixth, fifth, and fourth end up going straight there. So we didn't get to go to Loser Island, as everyone likes to call it,
at
the end of the race.
Loser Island.
All right. I know that under your contract with CBS, you can't tell me who wins the Amazing Race, and I don't want you to spoil it for me, but I do have to ask you, who's going to win the World Series of Poker main event this weekend? I'm sure you're following that.
Ivy.
We're kind of Team Ivy here. I think that him making the final table has already done so much for poker. And, you know, it's kind of a time for a professional to take it back. You know, we've seen a lot of amateurs come in and win, and that's been great for poker as well. But, you know, I think Phil Ivy could do a lot more.
Do you think he can do that from seventh place and only 9 million in chips when the chip leader, this lumberjack from Western Maryland, Darvin Moon, has something like 59 million, a third of all the chips that are left? Can Phil Ivey overcome that?
I think that if Phil Ivey gets, you know, at one favorable situation and he doesn't get unlucky, I think his skill will prevail in the end. But, you know, of course, anything can happen in poker, and he's going to need to, you know, get some chips soon. But from what I know of the structure, he's still okay in terms of the number of big blinds he has. So, you know, I don't know. Phil Ivey, he can do anything. I think he can overcome anything. So,
all right,
we'll see.
I'm picking Eric Buckman, the 29-year-old pro who's in second place there. And we'll see whose prediction stands up when everything is done Monday night when this is over. You two skipped playing in the main event this year to go do the Amazing Race. In retrospect, I'm sure you're thrilled with that decision.
Of course. You know, it's a silly question to ask. Worth it. Was it hard to say no to the main event? And for us, poker's there every single day. You know, Marie and I try to live a very balanced lifestyle, never get too sucked into 100% playing cards all the time. So, 10 times over. You know, actually, since the adventure is over, we kind of wish we were back there. For as hard as it was, for as mentally, physically, emotionally challenging as it was, we would give anything, I think, to be back out there racing again.
The good thing about poker is there's always another game, there's always another tournament, and there's always next year at the main event. Stephanie Michelle and Maria Ho, professional poker players and now Amazing Race veterans, knocked out last Sunday. But congratulations on getting as far as you did. And thanks for, and you know, we had a chance to talk before the race started, and now we have a chance to talk afterwards. So I feel like we have a little bit of closure here, ladies.
Yes, for having us.
Full circle with you, Paul.
Thank you. I appreciate it. This is the
Thank
Big 550.
You.
Thank you. This is the Big 550 KTRS.